Monday, May 7th, hearing of the House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules. And it's a beautiful day and the start of a week, which I'm sure will be a wonderful week, as they all are around here. And we're starting Senate bills, so that's a big deal. And we have a group of bills that we're going to hear together. So I am going to open simultaneously a public hearing and work session on SCR 9, SCR 11, SCR 12A, SCR 15, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 16. And so we're hearing all those bills together, and we are delighted to have with us the chief sponsor, Senator Abel Gordley. So please come forward and tell us about these resolutions.
Thank you, and good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Elections, Ethics, and Rules Committee. It is a beautiful day, and I'm deeply honored and feel very privileged to come and talk with you today about five great Americans, five wonderful Oregonians, public servants, all who gave so much of themselves to advance social justice, to advance human rights, to advance civil rights in our Oregon community. And I'd like to begin with Senate Concurrent Resolution 9. And for the record, I'm Abel Gordley, representing Senate District 23 in Multnomah County. Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 honors Carl F. Flipper III, who moved to Portland, Oregon in 1991, where he served at Lewis and Clark College as director of the Business Development Center and as an assistant professor of business. Mr. Flipper earned a BA in economics and an MBA in marketing and finance from the University of Illinois and was a valuable resource to the Oregon business and education sectors, teaching business courses at Concordia University, Portland State University, and Portland Community College. From 1997 through 2000, Mr. Flipper was a trade and economic advisor for the state of Oregon, creating opportunities for cultural exchange, trade, and tourism with Africa. And it was during this period of time that he also served as very ably as a legislative assistant in my office. Carl was actively involved with Oregon Public Broadcasting and the Portland Baseball Group and served as a consultant for the Oregon Native American Business and Entrepreneurial Network. Mr. Flipper was greatly involved in and enriched his community by serving as president of the Buffalo Soldiers Historical Society, president of the Oregon Enterprise Forum, president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples Portland Chapter, and chair of the Troop Committee with Boy Scout Troop 10. Mr. Flipper was the great-grandson of the brother of Henry O. Flipper, the first African-American to graduate from West Point. And if you don't know that history, I invite you to Google Henry O. Flipper. It's a remarkable chapter in American history, and to understand that piece of history and Mr. Flipper's link to that is a wonderful opportunity. Henry O. Flipper, the first African-American to graduate from West Point and the first African-American officer to command the Buffalo Soldiers. A longtime activist in North Portland's Humboldt neighborhood, where he was very respected, dearly loved, Mr. Flipper passed away on November 24, 2006 from complications of multiple myeloma. SCR 9 states that we, the members of the 74th Legislative Assembly, urge all Oregonians to commemorate Carl F. Flipper III for his great achievements throughout his life as an individual who dedicated his life to the memory of his granduncle and to helping others and to human rights.
Thank you very much. And any questions? Okay, he sounds like a remarkable individual, and I think it will be a great thing for us to honor him. And if you'd like to go ahead, just in whatever order.
Madam Chair?
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to mention that I was acquainted with Carl through Senator Gordley's office, and I would just say he was one of the most enthusiastic, energetic people that I have seen around the Capitol. He always had a twinkle or sparkle in his eye. He always had some project that he wanted people to think about, and he was a joy to see in the Capitol.
Yes, he was.
Thank you for allowing me to put that in.
Yes, he was. Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Stonebridge. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Concurrent Resolution 11 relates to Multnomah County Circuit Judge Clifford L. Freeman, who was born in 1944 and passed away on August 21, 2006. Judge Freeman earned an undergraduate degree in economics, a master's degree in education, and a law degree from the University of Oregon. He served as a felony trial attorney for the Metropolitan Public Defender's Office from 1979 to 88, then as a pro tem juvenile court referee for Multnomah County before he was appointed to the bench in 1996. Judge Freeman was one of the driving forces behind the development of Multnomah County's community court project that brought courtrooms into neighborhoods to handle crimes that were not considered high profile, and he was the first judge to preside over the Northeast Community Court based at the King Neighborhood Facility in Northeast Portland. And that facility also happens to be located across the street from where Judge Freeman grew up, in the King neighborhood. As a presiding judge of the Northeast Community Court, he found ways that defendants could aid the community as part of their sentence. He was known to his colleagues as personifying the qualities of a good judge, a public servant, and a mentor. SCR 11 calls for members of the 74th Legislative Assembly to extend our deepest sympathies to Judge Carl Clifford L. Freeman's family, friends, and all those persons whose lives he affected in the community he served. Senate Concurrent Resolution 12 relates to the life of Abdul Halim Rahsaan, formerly known as William Earl Cross, who was born on May 12, 1943 and passed away on July 7, 2006. After graduating from Jefferson High School in 1961, Mr. Rahsaan enlisted in the United States Army, and he was honorably discharged. He attended Southern Illinois University, Lewis and Clark College, where he received numerous certificates and honors. Mr. Rahsaan began boxing at the Knott Street Community Center, where his boxing team, the Knott Street Boxing Club, won three national titles and was inducted into the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame in 2005. He counseled young people to stay in school and to pursue a higher education, and motivated young people in recovery and the juvenile justice system to rebuild their lives. Mr. Rahsaan was a leader who stood up and fought against inferior education, police brutality, unfair housing, and unemployment. And he will be remembered by many, many, many people in the African-American community in particular for his grace in singing the Black National Anthem, which is titled Lift Every Voice and Sing. His courage, perseverance, leadership, pride in his African heritage, and love for his community was an inspiration and example to many. His loss is deeply, deeply, deeply felt in the community. SCR 12 calls for the members of the 74th Legislative Assembly to express our deep condolences to the family of Abdul Halim Rahsaan. Senate Concurrent Resolution 15 relates to the life of Judge Mercedes Diaz, who passed away on October 5, 2005, at the age of 87. And, Madam Chair, I think you may have had the opportunity to meet and to know this legendary woman. She left a long legacy of service to the legal profession, Mercedes Diaz became the first black female lawyer in Oregon when she was admitted to the bar in 1960, and became the first woman of color to become a judge in Oregon when she was appointed as a district court judge in 1969. Judge Diaz was elected as a Multnomah County Circuit Court judge, defeating 7 male challengers for the position. She became an advocate for youth, spending much of her time on the bench, presiding over family law cases, serving on the Governor's Committee on Children and Youth, and the Metropolitan Youth Commission. She was a founding member of the National Association for Women Judges and a founding member of the Oregon Women Lawyers, and was actively involved in the National Bar Association, the Oregon Minority Lawyers Association, and the Owen M. Tanner American Inn of Court. She taught trial techniques at Harvard Law School as a Woodrow Wilson Visiting Fellow. Colleagues of Judge Mercedes Diaz state that she exemplified the qualities that make the very best lawyers: common sense, practicality, a quick wit, decisiveness, compassion, concern for the community, and an abiding love and respect of the law. SCR 15 calls for the members of the 74th Legislative Assembly to mourn the passing of Judge Mercedes Diaz and to honor her lifelong dedication to her community and the legal profession. Senate Concurrent Resolution 16 speaks of the life of Judge Roosevelt Robinson, who passed away on August 4, 2004. He was appointed as a Multnomah County Circuit Court judge in 1995 and was one of 2 African Americans among Multnomah County's 37 Circuit Court judges. Judge Robinson was a founding member of the Association of Oregon Black Lawyers, and as an alumnus of Lewis and Clark Law School, was a co-founder of the Lewis and Clark Law School Minority Law Students Association. Because Judge Robinson worked tirelessly to increase the numbers of minority lawyers in Oregon, a scholarship was established in his honor at his alma mater, Lewis and Clark Law School, to provide financial assistance to minority students. He acted as a mentor in countless lives, professionally, personally, and academically, especially at his alma mater, Lewis and Clark Law School. SCR 16 calls for the members of the 74th Legislative Assembly to mourn the passing of Judge Roosevelt Robinson and honor his countless contributions to his community and his fellow citizens. I would also like to add that Judge Robinson was also known for his championing of the drug court in Oregon, and one of the last times I remember seeing and talking with him was here at the Capitol a couple of sessions back when he came down to advocate on behalf of drug courts. Madam Chair and members of the committee, what I have presented to you this morning in brief are glimpses into the lives of 5 great Americans, 5 great Oregonians who, as I said earlier, gave so much of themselves, gave so much of their lives in public service to our great state. And they, in fact, are giants. And it is the desire of many people in the legal community, but also in the community of Oregonians who want to honor service and public service, that we lift up these names, we lift up these lives, and it's my hope that more Oregonians will know about their contributions, and that particularly young people will know about their contributions. These are great people. They're giants. And they've made a great impression on our state, and their contributions their collective contributions form their legacy. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. And I did have an opportunity also to meet Judge Robinson on several occasions and found him to be really remarkable and just a great mentor and really a very wonderful person.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
So thank you very much for bringing all of these. And I think, you know, the other thing that's striking is how many of these people's lives ended at such an early age, too.
Okay.
Yes, yes. It's as though an Oregon chapter closed and in a great book that is where chapters are still being added, and there's so much more to learn and understand. But again, these are great people, great lives, and it is my hope that each of you will find some time in the near future to study more about these individuals and what they contributed. They were great people, great people.
Well, thank you very much for bringing them, the stories to us
thank
as
you.
Well. Any comments, questions? Okay. Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing this to us. And I can imagine the barriers that they overcame to be such successes and contributing so much to the community. I just have one burning question. That was on Judge Diaz.
Yes.
Oregon Women Lawyers, I understand. National Bar Association, I get it. What is the Owen M. Panner American Inn of Court?
I'm not sure what that organization is,
okay.
Madam Chair, Representative
Thatcher. That was my only question.
So I guess the challenge for all of us is to do a little homework. I'll be doing the same to find out more about that particular contribution. When we heard these, when we had these resolutions on the Senate floor, I do recall Senator Betsy Johnson and Senator Kate Brown spoke very eloquently about what Judge Diaz meant to them in their careers as practicing attorneys and also as women. They looked up to her as a mentor, and they both spoke, again, very eloquently about what she had given to them.
We may find one of our lawyer colleagues knows the answer to that, but if not, we will certainly research it and find out what it is.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For bringing these to us this morning. And members, we are in a work session, so I would entertain motions. I think we'll vote on these individually.
Madam Chair, I'll start off then.
Vice Chair Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move SCR 9 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
And Representative Buckley moves Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay, Shauna, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Excused.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. And members, I think we have, because I think there are five of these altogether, we have opportunities for several people to carry these. So is there a volunteer on SCR 9?
Don't think 9.
Yes, Representative Esquivel then will carry. Okay. And let's move on to the SCR 11.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd be glad to keep going unless other members of the committee would like to jump in.
Mr. Buckley, please go ahead.
I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 11 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Representative Buckley has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 11 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Shauna, please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. And okay, great. Then Representative Berger will carry SCR 11. And Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 12A to the floor with a do adopt recommendation.
Representative Buckley has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 12 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Shauna, please call the roll.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries.
I'm sure my dad was a boxer. I'd be glad to take this.
Okay, that sounds great. Representative Buckley will carry SCR 12.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Mr. Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move Second Congressional Resolution 15 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation.
Representative Buckley has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 15 to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay, Shauna, please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Ms.
Berger?
Aye.
Ms.
Buckley?
Aye.
Ms.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Excused? Aye. Motion carries, and the chair will carry SCR 12. And
Madam Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 16 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation.
Representative Buckley moves Senate Concurrent Resolution 16 to the floor with a do-adopt recommendation. Is there discussion? Shauna, please call the roll.
Aye.
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 Excused.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And who would like to carry SCR 16? Representative Roblin.
My son's a graduate of Lewis and Clark Law School. So
perfect.
That would be nice too.
Okay, great. So we will have these. I'm sure we'll end up scheduling these, and we will coordinate, Senator Gordon, with your office if you have a particular day you want these.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
Thank you for bringing them to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and I will close the public hearing and work session on SCR 9, SCR 11, SCR 12A, SCR 15, and SCR 16. And I will open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 124A. Oh, I'm sorry, I guess. Yeah, that's correct. Okay, and Mr. Stembridge, please tell us about this bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 124A allows the Attorney General to correct clerical errors and draft or certified ballot titles prepared by the Attorney General for state initiative petitions and referendum measures. It defines clerical error to be a typographical, arithmetical, or grammatical error or omission evident from the text or by comparison with the Attorney General's concurrently issued explanation. It sets a deadline for making corrections, and it specifies the time for filing the petition for judicial review of corrected ballot titles begins on the date the corrected title is certified.
Okay. Any questions for our administrator? We have one witness signed up to testify, and it is Philip Schadel. Please come forward. Good morning, and welcome back.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. Philip Schadel, Special Counsel to the Attorney General. Before we head into Senate Bill 124, I'd like to add a couple of comments about the concurrent resolutions that you just passed. I was very privileged to be here and feel very honored to have been able to understand and hear some about the exemplary lives of those individuals. They do sound like remarkable Oregonians. With respect to the question about the American Inns of Court, that is a national organization that is has chapters all around the country, and it's really dedicated to serving as a mentor opportunity for attorneys and a service organization to provide forum for attorneys to talk about important issues of the day. I'm sure they offer some continuing legal education credits as well through their organization. There's a chapter here in Salem, meets over in West Salem, and a number of illustrious members of the bar, including a number of the Supreme Court justices, are part of that chapter.
Thank you for that clarification. Representative Thatcher will be able to rest easy tonight.
With respect to more mundane matters, Senate Bill 124 is really, we bring this to you as a public service because every great once in a while, in terms of processing the 150 or more ballot title matters that come before our office, we strive to be perfect, but we aren't. And an example of that might be where moving from a draft ballot title to a certified ballot title, there is a change made in the summary. And sometimes those can be rather minor. And we had an occasion where in moving from the draft ballot title to the certified ballot title, we set out our explanatory letter that explained the change we intended to be making, and then inappropriately and erroneously set out the draft summary as the certified summary, and then that was in the certified ballot title as well. Well, under the current statutes, there's no way to make a correction to some error like that unless somebody actually petitions the Oregon Supreme Court, because errors can creep in at two stages in the process. At the draft ballot title stage, if an error is in a draft ballot title and nobody files a comment on that ballot title, by statute that becomes the certified ballot title and there's no opportunity to correct it. Second way is if in issuing our certified ballot title we have an error in there, the only way that that can be corrected is if somebody petitions the Oregon Supreme Court. We just don't have a corrective mechanism in statute to accommodate where we make an error. And in discussion over on the Senate side of this bill, when we came forward with it, we intend only to be able to correct very minor or very, well, what do I want to say, narrowly circumscribed kinds of errors. And so we worked with the Senate side to develop the definition of clerical error to be something that is a typographical, arithmetical, or grammatical error. And it has to be self-evident either from the text of the ballot title itself or the example that I gave you about. In the draft title, we had a summary that had we wanted to make a change to. In the certified summary, we tried to make that change and failed. That's the example of when an error would show from comparing the ballot title to the explanation provided at by the Attorney General concurrently. So that's the example that I wanted to highlight for the committee. I'm happy to answer any questions about this proposal.
Mr. Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Schrader, wasn't there something with Measure 47? Do you remember that correctly, or was it 46 this past Senate? The difference between or and of? If I remember that correctly, there was some frustration from the proponents that one letter had been mistyped.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Buckley, you probably are correct. I'm not remembering that currently, but that is exactly the kind of circumstance that... Now, if we have a typographical error or we, say 100,000 instead of, 1 million,
right.
That's the kind of error that we're attempting to get at.
May I follow?
Yes, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, I noticed on the Senate side there were quite a number of no votes. Did you follow the Senate debate on the bill, and can you let us know what the gist of the debate was?
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Buckley, I didn't follow the debate. It caught me off guard. I don't really understand what a driver would be behind why you wouldn't want to allow us the opportunity to do this. There could be some discomfort over the definition of clerical error. We tried to tighten that up, and truly the intent here is only a public service. We don't want to, we don't want to provide to the voting public something that's an inaccurate statement.
Thank you.
And so if there has been a change in the law from the time a measure is filed until it goes forward, does this allow for changes to be made in the ballot title relating to that?
Chair Rosenbaum, actually no. There's another proposal that is being discussed that I don't believe has been submitted into bill form to date that would attempt to get at that kind of a problem. This does not. This is only for arithmetical, typographical, grammatical errors, so it wouldn't address where there's been a substantive law change. And it wouldn't authorize us to rethink a question about whether we had accurately done it. It is really narrowly circumscribed to only where there are technical errors in the ballot title that we issue.
Okay. And yes, Vice Chair Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Schrader, I presume this was heard in the Senate rules, and was there a room full of people? Was there opposition at that time?
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Berger.
I noticed that it's pretty empty behind.
I believe the popularity of this proposal was about the same as it was today. There were no public attendees that I'm aware of, and Senator Farioli raised a good question that helped us set out the definition for clerical error.
Okay.
And that was the discussion with the committee on the Senate side was, well, certain, so shouldn't we have an explicit definition of clerical error? So we worked with Senator Ferriol and the committee to draft this.
Okay, thank you.
And I will note that this did pass unanimously out of the committee on the Senate side with one member excused. So.
Chair Rosenbaum, that's correct.
So, other questions from committee members for this witness?
Member, just a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
It's the quality of the visitors to our committee, not the quantity, that I think.
That's absolutely right. Okay, thank you very much for your test. Okay, Representative Thatcher, please go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out how the best way to phrase it, but I guess if you come out and you say, okay, this was a typographical error, and a new one comes out, and then the opponents come along and say, wait a minute, this changes it. And maybe it's an of instead of an or, you know. Is there a way, what is the appeal process or reason, you know, to hear the reasons from the opponents?
Chair Rosenbaum, Representative Thatcher, what would happen then would be the normal ballot title challenge process would kick in. If we make a change, a correction to a ballot title, then the normal timelines for somebody to challenge that, file a petition with the Supreme Court, would kick in. So if somebody thought we had inappropriately or by the, you know, made a correction that shouldn't have been corrected, for, so to speak, or if our correction changes substantially the ballot title, somebody would have an opportunity to raise that claim.
So, in other words, if once you make this change, it starts a new round of people being able to respond to the ballot title?
Chair Rosenbaum, yes, it's really engrafted
to that change that you've made, though?
Well, it's really engrafted onto the current process. If we catch such a mistake quickly enough before somebody has filed a petition for Supreme Court review, for example, we would issue a corrected ballot title, and that would simply start the 10-day period for challenges. If the 10-day period, you know, if we issue a draft ballot title and nobody has filed a comment about the ballot title, then we would issue a certified ballot title had the correction made in it, and people would be able to file a challenge if they wish to. So it's embedded into the process, and it may extend the process in those circumstances where we have erred.
I see. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Members, we are in a work session. And is there a motion?
Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 124A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And looks like there's no revenue or fiscal impact. And Representative Buckley has moved Senate Bill 124A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Shauna, please call the roll.
Representative
Berger.
Aye.
Representative
Buckley.
Aye.
Representative
Estimel.
Aye.
Representative Hunt.
Excused.
Representative
Roland.
Aye.
Representative
Thatcher.
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum.
Aye. Motion carries. And do we have a volunteer who would like to carry this bill? I would be happy to carry it if no one else wishes to. So, all right, the chair will carry the bill. And I don't think we want to put this on the consent calendar now. Okay.
No.
So I will.
That's fine.
And you know, I'm sorry, I did not ask if anybody else wished to testify on that bill, but it looks like nobody did. So I will close the public hearing. And you're not here to testify on something, are you? No. I'll close the public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 124A. And members, with nothing further to come before us on this beautiful morning, we are adjourned.